You know who's playing the Winnipeg Folk Festival this year, you guys?
Who's that?
Randy Newman.
I did hear Randy Newman was playing the Folk Festival.
And you know who else is playing the Winnipeg Folk Festival?
Todd Snyder's also playing the
Folk Festival. Todd Snyder, who's apparently a weird dude.
Flatliners.
And you know who else is playing the Winnipeg Folk Festival?
Rami Mays.
And Rami Mays is here. And I hear you're going to the Winnipeg Folk Festival, Dustin.
I'll be there, yeah. You'll see my mug hidden somewhere backstage there.
Similar to the mug that you've seen in the photo today in the Free Press. The one somewhat that's a little blurry and looks like he has a little bit of speech impediment, maybe you'd assume.
It's kind of that simple country charm, though. It helps your music, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you feel sorry for him, exactly, so you have to buy his album.
People don't want to know that he's good looking and that he's smart and you know, all these other things. You know, they want him to be some country bumpkin.
Yeah.
And I think that picture doesn't.
There's a bumpkin about it. Yeah. Definitely.
There's a bumpkin. Anyways, a bumpkin, all right.
Always a pleasure to have you two folks back here.
Oh, great. Thanks. To be here.
Dustin, I mean, you were just here in the fall, I guess, with Dad and that whole big crew.
Yeah.
So what brings you back to town? You just did you have to do some time and come back here to pay in your community service? Or?
No, it's just the people and the players. Made a lot of friends in a short period of time out here, and I've been wanting to get back here ever since. We just did 2 weeks on the road out west, and really wanted to make it out here for a show at the Times Change, but just couldn't make the route through Saskatchewan. So,
well, it's kind of hard to cross that border.
Saskatchewan.
And we just couldn't do it, so I had to come out here on my own for this week, and just kind of put in some time, and we've been having a great time the last couple of days hanging with all that crew, the D-Rangers. And
yeah, it's hard not to have a good time when you're hanging out with those folks. But
yeah,
it's been pretty lucky, just because like the last few days everyone's in town, everyone got together, so there's like mucho jamming happening with all the good buddies and stuff. So.
Yeah, like straight from the airport to the West End for D-Rangers. You know, didn't miss a beat there, and then went all night.
Now, are you staying for a long time? Because you got a bunch of things coming up. I mean, I know you're going to see Lucinda on the weekend, and you're going to the Folk Festival and all this. Like, are you just, like, living here for the next couple of months or what?
Just about. We're playing Candor on Saturday, too.
Yeah.
I got to fly home on Monday. I got to play a couple shows in Vancouver this next week. And then after that, I'm going to do a good 2 or 3 week shift out here. I meet Rami in Edmonton. We do North Country Fair. And then drive it back out here to do Dauphin. And
There's a little bit of a gap. And then there's Nest Creek.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fun.
But based out of here mostly. Yeah.
Well, good for you. I mean, where does most of your touring happen? Like, do you stick sort of around Vancouver? And, have you ever made it across the country, really? Or
Not really, no. I've been out to Toronto a couple times, but that's just kind of in and out. Did one little tour last summer for about 10 days around there. But, as far as driving from home, we haven't made it past Saskatoon, I guess, so far. But that's only been, like, 2 trips that we've done, really.
Yeah.
You know, this last one was the first time I went out with just my band as Dustin Bentall, and so it's still pretty early in the game, so.
How many folks do you travel with in your band?
My band, there's 4 of us.
And that must be good to be at a place where you can start touring with the band and stuff?
Yeah, it was great.
The record, I guess you're partially out here for for another release of your record. I mean, this record seems to have got some legs. I mean, you release it once a year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't it originally come out in 2005? And then there was sort of a national release last year when we first started hearing about you. And then now it's distributed? Is that the deal?
Yeah, that was sort of it. We released it in March of 2006, I think. It was finished at the very end of 2005. Oh, okay. That's why it was dated 2005, but we released it in March, and then, that was kind of mostly me on my own with the help of my manager, Ken Beattie, who's from Winnipeg. And
he was here with you last time. He's unbelievable, actually.
He's a dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the best.
So so who's putting out the record now? Like, who's helping you out?
Fontana North picked it up to distribute it, and, it was something they don't typically do either. You know, it had been out and around for for a year or so, but they really dug it and they wanted to give it that kind of push that it needed because we'd done as much as we could on our own, you know.
Had you been approaching folks to put it out for you, or did they just kind of find you and say, this is great, like, let's get it out there?
Bit of both, you know, like, through Ken, you know, he's in contact with everybody. So we were in no rush to kind of, because we had released it independently, we weren't thinking about trying to get a label involved for it. So we wanted to kind of use this record to get out there and get the word out, and then we'll think about that maybe for the next record.
Right. And I mean, I absolutely love the record, and I think it's, you know, I think for a first record, it's got a real sound of its own, and it's got a real sort of maturity to it that a young guy like yourself doesn't often have. But what has the reaction been to the record? Have people been really digging it, I guess?
Yeah, it's been remarkable. But and I've been hearing a lot of what you just said too, you know. I mean, part of that is that I did start writing songs probably 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe even longer than that now. But I always knew that once I made a record, you know, being, you know, because of who my dad is, it was going to get some critical acclaim. And I didn't want to just kind of crank out my first 10 songs on a record and see what happens. Like, I wanted to really wait till I was ready and had something that I was, you know, happy with. And so I waited a long time to make this, and now that I have, it's been doing really well.
It's a good thing people like your dad. Like, that would really be a bad thing. Like, what if you were like really wanting to put out a great album, but your dad was loathed by all?
your dad, of course, is Barney Bentall, who everybody knows for he's been around for years and years. Did you have to sort of consciously go like, I don't want this record to sound like my dad at all, because it really doesn't? And I mean, yeah, you'd be hard to really tell that you're even related by listening to it, because it's not really derivative of that at all.
Yeah, I mean, I never wrote songs that sounded like his, you know, and mostly because, you know, he had his rock band, they did their thing, and he kind of wrote songs for that, you know, that was its own thing, and but outside of that, he's always, you know, been more into the roots music, and that's more of what I would hear growing up and listen to. And so, I mean, my songwriting just never went in that kind of direction. It was, you know, I was listening to lots of Neil Young in high school. As you can hear a bit of that on the record.
Yeah, for sure.
You can literally hear that on the record.
But I mean, you must have. I mean, it would only be natural to be influenced by what your dad was doing and stuff. So I mean, what did you pick up from him?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've watched him on stage so much. It's funny because I've always, you know, like, watched him. They rock so hard. Their band is so good. They just did a show a couple weeks ago at this rodeo, and everyone who was there, all the young guys watching, were just in awe of what they can do.
Like, yeah.
Just because they've been through the ringer and they've been across the country so many times. And I always kind of had that, like, instinctually. But, you know, I also, the music I do isn't quite like that. It's not so rock. It's a little more roots, and I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this.
If you answered the question, move on.
No, it's... did you learn some lessons from him along the way too? Like what to do or what not to do did you learn from his mistakes?
Yeah, and he always taught me how to get through, you know, open doors, and how to get free beer and stuff like
that. Invaluable lessons from father to son.
Very good lessons to learn as well. Yeah. but obviously you're working hard now and doing things on your own, and I mean, even though you're doing shows from time to time with your dad, it seems like you're not exactly riding on his coattails. You're certainly doing fine on your own, which is really good to see.
Yeah, no, I've always wanted to prove myself doing my own thing for sure.
Yeah.
And I just wouldn't be able to live with myself if I was doing something like that, you know.
Yeah.
Really, I even considered, you know, when I first thought about making a record, like maybe changing my name or having it under a different name, which I, you know, didn't want to do that because this is my name.
But yeah, it's something to embrace though too. I mean, it's like you said, using those open doors, you know, when I was doing all the press releases and stuff for a tour that Dustin and I did with Kent McAllister last February, that was what everybody wanted to ask me. They were asking me questions all like, so, you know, Barney Bentall's son, eh? You know, like that was the first thing they wanted to talk about. And I think you should totally not use it, but it's be proud of it. You know?
Oh, absolutely. And I, you know, I figured.
Now admit it, you hate your dad.
the truth me, is going to come out here live on the
tell
radio.
Tell the people what you really say.
Yeah, no, I mean, what happened was when I started getting into the music scene and seeing what other people were doing, and I realized what any other singer-songwriter would do to have anything that would help, you know, get a foot in the door. And then I realized that if I didn't use that would just be kind of selfish in a way. So I have definitely been able to embrace it.
For sure.
Yeah, and the old man, he's a good guy, and we're good friends. We do lots together, and everything's,
yeah,
it's pretty cool, especially when we get on stage together. It's a trip.
Well, I was going to say, the last time you were here was for the Grand Caribou Opry, which I guess sort of he headlined or whatever. It was Barney Bentall's thing, but it was so neat because there were so many of you up there. Like there were young folks, like you know you and Rami and Leroy were kind of young folks, and then there was the, you know, people have been around for a long time, like Johnny Ellis and your dad and Leslie Alexander, and so is that kind of intimidating to go up on stage and sort of be co-billed with people who have been doing this for a long time, or does that just sort of make you work a little harder? Or?
Yeah, it kind of makes you step up a little. Exactly. It's not intimidating. I mean, mostly because those are, you know, some of those guys kind of helped raise me as a child.
Well, for
sure,
like, yeah.
Jack, who's drumming, has just been there as far as I can remember. And they are also, you know, that's a big part of why they're doing that, is to help us out, because they think that what we're doing, you know, like Ridley, Bent, and Cam Latimer, and Cam didn't make it out for that trip.
Really didn't either. Oh, no, Brian did.
You know, we all live together at a house in Vancouver and write songs, and we got this really cool thing going on there, and all the old guys just think it's so cool, because back in their day, it was all about trying to get the deal, you know?
Yeah.
And nowadays things have changed, and you don't have to go that route. And, you know, you can just do whatever the hell you want with your music, and that's what we're doing. And so they really think that's cool, and they're encouraging it like mad. So they're so happy to have us up there with them. And it's such the whole environment there on that stage, is very very comfortable.
You were talking there about how the business has changed or whatever from getting the deal, and all I hear every day these days is how the music industry is going on the toilet, and nobody's buying CDs anymore and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, can you still make a living doing music, and is it like, obviously you can't you personally didn't have experience back then, but seeing how your dad did it or how he lived or whatever, you know, how the business was to him, you must sort of see, is it different today than it was?
Yeah,
then?
I mean, it's totally different. You can, of course you can, you got to work really hard, and but you know, the other thing is that for him, they got the big deal and whatnot, but they also got robbed. So now, you know, if you're really smart about it and you do it on your own, you can, you know, keep more of those dollars that are earned through doing it yourself,
so you don't have to sell as many to make the same amount.
I
think it used to be metaphored with something like a bunch of people blindfolded running through tar to sign a piece of paper they couldn't see at the end of this hole, you know? Like, just must sign that contract, and they don't even know what it says, you know? Yeah. And that's why people got robbed, I think, so much. And people end up suing their record labels and all the time, just because they were signing stuff and then getting robbed. Sure.
Does that make you guys more cautious about signing deals? I mean, both of you are sort of at the beginning stages of great careers, and I got to believe that somewhere along the line somebody's, you know, dangled a line or something and said, you know, not offered you a huge deal, but said, you know, we should talk about it or something. Like, does that make you more wary of signing anything these days?
Totally.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I got pretty fortunate this year. I actually did sign a publishing deal.
Oh, good.
And that was, you know, I was pretty unsure about that, you know, for a long time. But what it ended up being was, they offered some money, and it was a deal that I wouldn't be able to get had they not come asking me for it. And so we took it. But yeah, I've had to think long and hard about that.
Yeah, publishing and licensing, those are totally separate than owning your record or you for 7 years or 3 albums or, you know. I think the most daunting thing, more so than actually just being, you know, committing to anything like that, would be I don't know when the next time I want to make an album until I'm ready to make an album. And I don't really know what's going to happen within the next 6 months to fork the next road, you know.
Right.
So how can I possibly commit 7 years or 3 albums to any one place or time, you know, and especially when somebody's saying you have to make an album, you know, by next, say right now, and someone said at the end of August, we need you to, yeah, it's time for an album. That's a lot of pressure, and that sort of screws up your whole, I mean, not to sound like a total hippie about the whole thing, but that screws up the whole art.
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, that seems so contrary to the nature of art, yeah, being sort of something you create when you're inspired,
yeah,
to live by somebody else's schedule. That would seem to me to force you to make art, which, yeah, often makes crappy art.
Having said that, if somebody offered me, you know, $16 million to do make an album by the end of August, I'd think
if any
about
major
it.
Labels are listening, 269-8636,
yeah,
know, send your representatives down.
Yeah.
Of course, you guys playing tonight at the High and Lonesome Club in St.
Yeah.
Mary, the best place in town to play and to go and to hang out and to drink and to eat and all kinds of things. So it's definitely the place to be tonight. What's it? It's like $7 or something tonight?
I actually don't know.
That's what's said in the paper. Yeah.
So. Oh, Dustin suddenly up. He comes to town and the dollars go up, do they?
No.
Mr. Speech Impediment Picture. Yeah, no, that's a really weird thought, a speech impediment picture. Yeah, I guess $7 then.
And do you want to mention the special guests you got coming on?
Sure, it's awesome. Yeah, well, this summer, actually, I've been working, I'm going to be working a lot with Jackson and Twisty and Saywell, Chris Saywell, all from the Derangers. That's my backup band for a lot of the stuff I'm doing this summer again, which kind of brings it back to the whole temporarily employed thing,
yeah,
which is really, really fun for me. And Carmichael's real busy now, and Dan's in Ontario, and we all sort of just parted ways for a while, and I was doing a lot of solo work.
Yeah.
And then when the festival season started booking, I thought, I'm going to need some backup. And the Rangers and I sort of started talking about what their schedule was like, and so we put it together. So that was a no-brainer that when Dustin was in town, we were going to do something like that. And today we had a rehearsal, and then they got to play with Dustin for a while too. So we're going to have Jackson Twisty and Chris Saywell, and Tanya Elizabeth's in town, and I think she's going to be sitting in as well. So it's,
oh, that's unbelievable.
We're just going to, they're going to back us both up after Dustin does his solo set, so everyone can get his dealio.
Now, do we know if folks, any of those folks are coming down to Canada on Saturday as well?
The plan hadn't been that way, mostly because the money's not there.
Yeah.
You know, just you don't really want to bring people on and then divide, everyone gets $7, you know. But, I mean, it's totally possible.
But it could be two very different shows, so folks might want to check out both.
I mean,
it sounds like
the show that Dustin and
Well, it's cool because Rami and I, along with Kent McAllister, did a tour on the West Coast a couple months back, and so we've got a good handful of shows under our belt, just kind of swapping songs. So that thing that we do is a lot of fun as well.
Yeah. Just back and forth.
We don't need those guys.
Who are those guys anyway? Ooh, we must need them for a good show. Yeah.
But as for tonight, man, yeah, it's my first time playing The Times Change, so I've been wanting to play there for a long time.
She must have brought you down there when you were in town before.
Yeah, yeah, I got to see a couple shows there around WCMA's last year.
I think the first show you ever saw there was me.
Yeah. I think so. And then...
And you went back anyway.
Ouch. Okay, the cocky routine's going. It's turning against me.
All right, we're not going to turn on each other. Do you want to play us a simplified version or two?
For sure. Maybe by request. Crash Hard.
Stu Reed. Gotta love him.
How are these mics looking for you?
They look lovely.
It's gonna work for you. All right, well, here's Rami and I doing Crash Hard. Once I was high, now I'm grounded. Then I felt real good, but now I feel wounded. Something in your eyes tells me the time has come. Here comes the end of the fun.
I know. When tonight I can see the sun, I know. I'm gonna crash hard from this one. Once I did some time in Chateau d'If prison. There I had a best friend whose name was Levin. They let him out in 43 and me in 7. God told me one time he'd let me into heaven when I'm done. I know. When tonight I can see the sun, I know. I'm gonna crash hard from this one. I can't run from all that has been said and done. I know. I'm gonna crash hard from this one. I had a scratch, so I cut in deeper just to know what it felt like to be cut deeper. Then I felt the scratch on my back tell me, could it be the night's reaper? I looked back in time to see him reaching for his gun, dressed in red and black. She told me all that I lack. It wasn't what I wanted to hear, but it felt good just to have her near. She said it's being alone that I fear. This I know. Please don't you tell anyone. I know. When tonight I can see the sun, I know. I'm gonna crash hard from this one. I can't run from all that has been said and done. I know. I'm gonna crash hard from this one. I'm gonna crash hard from this one. I know, I know, I know, I know, I know. I'm gonna crash hard from this one.
Gorgeous indeed. Love that song. Love that song. You know, when I first listened to that record, who sings the background on the record?
Deborah. She's the queen.
Who is she? Like, when I first heard the record, I didn't look at the liner notes first. I thought it was Patty Griffin singing along with it. I'm like, holy crap. Awesome. I went like...
Deborah Jean Creelman.
Who the hell is she? She's fantastic.
She's a really good friend of mine from back home. She plays in the band Mother Mother.
Okay.
Here to them.
You haven't heard? I don't know if they've made their way this way.
They played Winnipeg. They played Winnipeg a couple months ago. They just signed to Last King. Yeah, it's like an indie rock band. Signed a label with Metric and Death From Above. Like those guys, they're really cool. They're great friends of mine. But she's a phenomenal singer. And she's so cool. I love the way that she learned to sing. Was like, when she was growing up, she'd just have her like song of the week that she just loved, you know, and she'd just sit in her room and put it on repeat and sing along with it at the top of her lungs and just get kind of capture every little nuance, you know, of that singer. And then next week it'd be something else, you know, and not be anything from Madonna to Billie Holiday or whatever.
Yeah.
And so she's, you know, become so versatile, and man, what she did on the record just blew me away.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Anyways, not to take anything away from Rami, you sounded fantastic.
Wow,
there
I sure
that
missed that
well.
Album. Who was that was singing on the?
I learned
from Deb. I mean, when I hung out with Deb, I mean, she's the coolest chick, really. And I was like, she said, "Oh, I think your stuff's amazing." And I was like, I'm learning daily from listening to the Dustin's album from her. You know, just how to approach harmony too. She's an amazing singer.
Did you guys want to do another one together?
I don't know.
too. I didn't expect you to.
I gotta go. Sorry.
Yeah, let's do Nine Inch Nails. Are we gonna be able to get that ending right?
I'll do my very best.
There's a couple, like, this is one of those songs that could go on forever, you know? You can keep writing choruses and verses to it because of how it goes and what it's
about. Play on words and stuff.
Yeah, so, we'll have no problem. But this is a song that I wrote with Ridley Bent. It's more of a Bottle in the Truth song. That's our other band we have together, kind of rock and country band. Which we just found out we're opening for Cor Blund at Stampede, which is just huge. I'm pretty excited about that. Nine Inch Nails. I met her in a record shop. She was into hard rock. We had a wild affair. She moved in and the rent was shared. Yeah, we spent a lot of nights listening to records in the candlelight. If it wasn't for the music, I never would have fallen in love. Well, the breakup was a rough one. She pulled out a shotgun. I talked her down and we worked it out. She got it all in the matching couch. Now I still got my records and I need a sad song. Wouldn't you know it, the jackets are wrong. All the sad ones are gone. I got her tool collection. She got my working man's blues. She got my Tom T. Hall. I got her Husker Du. Yeah, we got them all mixed up. When we were high on rails, she got my 9-pound hammer. I got her 9-inch nails. Well, she won't return my phone call. And I'm running low on alcohol. I drive down to the LCB and pick myself up some Tennessee whiskey. I throw on some Black Hole Sun, cause you know I kinda like that one. If it wasn't for the music, I never would have fallen in love. I got her tool collection. She got my working man's blues. She got my Tom T. Hall. I got her Husker Du. Yeah, we got them all mixed up. When we were high on rails, she got my 9-pound hammer. I got her 9-inch nails. Well, I hear she moved to Montreal. Well, eventually, don't they all? She's got a band that covers Wolf Mother. I hear they call themselves Wolf Lover. And I'm listening to Hell's Bells. And I'm wishing it was Bob Wills. If it wasn't for the music, I never would have fallen in love. I got her tool collection. She got my Coupe de Ville. I got her built to spill. And she got my Waylon and Will. Well, they were always my heroes, even when they were in jail. She got my 9-pound hammer. I got her 9-inch nails. I got her tool collection. She got my hot rod Lincoln. My heart won't stop sinking. I need some songs for drinking. I got her crazy train. And I'm going off the rails. She got my 9-pound hammer. I got her 9-inch nails. She got my 9-pound hammer. I got her 9-inch nails.
Oh, that's too much fun. Hang on to that one. That's too much fun. Yeah. So with the album being, the songs are obviously a couple of years old anyway. Do you have a whole pile of new stuff raring to go already?
I do. Yeah. We're talking about maybe making a record in November.
Oh yeah.
It's gonna be tough. Got like, get to go down to Nashville in September to write. for a while, which is going to be cool, and probably come up with something down there.
Do you have any co-writers lined up?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty exciting. And then October, I'm probably going to be touring with the band, and we'll make it out here that time. And then November, we might do a, we might go across Canada with that Grand Caribou Opry show with my dad.
That was unbelievable. Like, I can't imagine a more fun show than that. So,
After that show, like, I just loved everybody and just loved that whole show too. And I was really happy to be a part of it. And then they did it again at JunoFest in Saskatoon. Mm-hmm. And Barney asked me to be a part of that too. I kind of bugged him actually. And then, let's fess up. Okay, I called him every day. And no, but it was cool. I said I would be into it, and he said, yeah, come on out, let's do it. So I got to be a part of it then too. And the West End was one kind of Caribou Opry.
Yeah.
And then this one was a bit, like, they're all different, right? Or whatever.
Yeah.
But Juno Fest one was just, like, off the hook. Like, it was packed.
Lydia's
was packed. Like, I've never seen the place that packed. Of course, Juno Fest, so it's sort of to be expected. But there literally was there were a few volunteer people standing in front of the stage to help us have space to come on off the stage, pushing people back a bit. And I just remember that whole night just being off the hook. Like, and it was more fun even than the first time. So I know they've done it a handful of times, but it's the vibe on that stage is unlike any other.
Wow.
Yeah, we just did it at the rodeo. Like, the legendary Hearts have played the rodeo near my dad's ranch every year for the last 5 years. And that's kind of how the whole thing started, was basically the night before the rodeo, we all sit around the house and pick tunes all night. And that was like such a magical evening that that's why my dad wanted to basically put that on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so this year was the first year we did like a whole Opry set to start the rodeo. And then the band did their thing after that, and it was it was best rodeo year ever. Huge attendance, and it's just like, it's just snowballing, that thing. That show just gets bigger and better every time. So
wow, yeah, no, I'd love to see that again. So let's hope that happens for sure. By the way, if you're just tuning in, Dustin Bentall, Rami Mays are here. They're playing tonight at High and Lonesome Club for what is sure to be another show of the year contender. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun. Do you have one more in you?
Yeah, maybe I'll do a brand new one for you.
Oh, I'd love that.
Speaking of new ones. And yeah, like I was saying, hopefully, you know, maybe end of November we'll get into the studio to do it, to do the next record. But busy for the time being. This one's called I Don't Miss Being 23. Strongest bull for you, and you love me, so you do it too. The day I turned 24, you made love to me. Now I don't miss being 23. Living a dream. Good friends come and go, but do they ever leave? So many miles in the van with the gang. We're coming to your town, so don't forget my name. If I was a bartender, I'd pour the strongest drink for you. You love me, so you do it too. The
day I turned 24, you made love to me. Now I don't miss being 23. Nothing but a pile of broken heart on the floor before I met you. Well, I make you laugh and you like my smile. You got a great ass and I like your style. So if I ask you for some time alone, miss me when I'm gone, I'll be coming home. If I was a bullfighter, I'd fight the strongest bull for you. And you love me, so you do it too. Day I turned 24, you made love to me. Now I don't miss being 23. Now I don't miss being 23. All right.
That's fantastic. You know, there's so many like, there's some real sad songs on your record, and then obviously there's a little bit of a lighthearted side to you as well. So
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, there is. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun. Anyways, why don't we play something off the record? And we actually we have a couple to give away, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I brought a couple.
So if you don't have a copy of Dustin's fabulous record, 269-8636, 269-UMFM, I'm sure there will be many copies available tonight at the High and Lonesome Club or Saturday at Candor as well.
Yeah. Yes, Saturday show's at 8 o'clock. And if you haven't been to Candor Books and Music yet, it's a good thing to mention, actually, because they're on Provence, 390, I think, Provence. Mm-hmm,
that's right.
And they're Amanda and Jules, mm-hmm. You know, great people. Great taste in music, great, they like me, and great taste in books, and just really supportive of local arts and talent. And this will be the second time I've played there, and I'm excited to go back, and I hope that people come out and support it. It's, you know, something new is intimidating to people to try out and go see a new venue.
It's definitely worth the trip, though.
It's
like
cool
it's just such a nice little place. And
yeah, so there's that show. If you can't make tonight, there's the Saturday.
Or, I mean, I'm telling you, it sounds like they're going to be different shows, so check out both. But
I like the way you're thinking better.
Yeah. Do you have a request off the record, Dustin? Or does it...
Well, I was kind of requesting one.
Oh,
what do you want to hear?
Well, one of my favorites on the album is Such a Shame.
Oh, God.
Which is number 7.
Oh, believe me, I know.
Isn't that a killer tune?
I love that song. Do you want, just while I cue it up here, do you have anything to is that a true story, that song?
I love this story.
It's a true story, all right. The song basically the friend I lost that's sing about in that song is a 69 Chevy Impala I used to have.
See, you'd never know that. Isn't that weird?
Sometimes I don't like to give it away, but
it's kind of cool to know.
Yeah.
I think you just ruined the song.
That's what I hear.
No, yeah, but it's a heavy story, though, still. Like, it's not like, oh, my car died.
Yeah, like, no. Almost 3 years ago, I drove that car across Canada. It's the car in the reflection on the cover of the record.
Oh, yeah.
And, me and my friend drove it across Canada, and we were on the road for exactly 2 months to the day, and we were 5 hours from home. I just spent a night at the ranch, and driving back, and we were, 2.5 hours from Vancouver at the end of this long trip, and F-250 and a camper trailer behind it crossed the center line and hit us head on in the Fraser Valley, Fraser Canyon there. and it was just a complete miracle that either one of us survived it. And it was only because we had, you know, 6 feet of 40-year-old steel in front of us.
Wow.
That that we were able to get out relatively unscathed. So the song is about.
Okay, I'm back. I'm back in on the song.
You got it back in. Okay. It's a heavy deal.
And then, of course, you know, some of the inspiration is from some very, very, very close friends of mine that I've lost along the way too. So.
Well, it's a beautiful song, and thanks for picking it, Rami. Anyways, we had some calls and they hung up because we talked too long. So we still have a couple of Dustin's records to pick up. 269-8636-269 UMFM. Thanks for being here, guys.
Man, thanks for having us.
I wish you all could have seen it this one time. We was trying to cross the New York State borderline. They wanted to know all alone what she's doing so far from home. They found some grass in a tobacco sack. I thought for sure they was gonna send us back. Boy, I tell you, she hit all the lines. I guess some boys just had to crack. And it's such a shame, she had such a pretty face. Such a shame she found a resting place. I hope she sounds as pretty in this song, because now she's gone. Pearl white eyelids that captured me. How could they not? I was 17. I worked so hard that summer just to have her. How foolish am I to think it'll last forever? Boys, I tell you, she had it turned on, but now she's gone. And it's such a shame, she had such a pretty face. Such a shame she found a resting place. I hope she sounds as pretty in this song, 'cause now she's gone. She lay in a puddle of blood, pushed off the highway and into the mud. I held her in my arms the day she died. Yeah, that's no lie. And it's such a shame, she had such a pretty face. Such a shame she found a resting place. I hope she sounds as pretty in this song, 'cause now she's gone. And it's such a shame, she had such a pretty face. Such a shame she found a resting place. I hope she sounds as pretty in this song, 'cause now she's gone.
could sit on the inside, outside looking in. I could take a breath of clean air, but the walls cave in. And if you ask me the right questions, I swear I wouldn't lie. If you came too close to reason, I'd ask you not to try. I could paint a stellar picture if you just gave me some paint. I would sit and talk for hours if I thought you'd be my saint. But now don't you come a crying and ask to see my soul. I straight up look you in the eye, say that's just how I roll. And I swear I wouldn't know it if you laid me in the eye. I'm too close to dying to let you waste my time. And I lost my closest friends, though they left me pure and whole. I wouldn't ask a favor, and that's just how I roll. If I thought my destination would be the high road. And if you pulled on up beside me and offered me a ride, I'd lean on through the window, take a good look inside. And you'd ask me where I'm going, and I'd ask you the same. And I know that I turn back to the rain. And you won't see me crying and ask to see your soul. I'd rather keep on walking, and that's just how I roll. That's just how I roll. That's just how I roll. That's just how I roll.
This pretty young thing, grease stains on her blue jeans, takes a seat at the bar next to me, and is served a Long Island iced tea for free. Well, I noticed this because I'm a detective, and missing the little things in this profession only leaves me guessing. Well, I'm into my third Heineken and thinking, damn, this girl is fine looking. I ask her her name and she smiles. It's Mary Jane. Well, I'm pleased to meet you, Mary Jane. You're one foxy dame, if you don't mind my saying. She says, who are you? Some kind of crazy fool. I says, I'm Johnny Cash. When I'm drinking, I'm on the Clash. When I'm thinking, I'm Mad Max. When I'm driving, I'm my diamond. When I'm rhyming, I'm Humphrey Bogart. When I'm smoking, I'm Bob Marley. When I'm toking, demon, yeah.
undercover's gotta be incognito. And I'm in disguise as one of the bad guys with a sweet ride. Yeah, the desert sky was blood red, and she held on tight as we sped through the valley of the dead vultures into an underworld subculture. Neon lights and cockfights, cutthroats and lowlifes, prostitutes in red leather boots giving me the eye as we glide up to the suicide winder saloon, where this goon with a mouth full of chew says, "Who the fuck are you?" I'm token, yeah, and in bed when I'm dreaming. I'm a guitar swinging demon, yeah. Mary Jane's addiction was cocaine and Pulp Fiction. And when you're itching for a fix, and this is the place that you come to get some, she leads me to the back where I find the kingpin drinking Jack and Coke and playing poker with a couple of dope smoking jokers. She said, "Take a hit off the bong, brother, and I don't want to blow my cover, so I have a little hoot, and it sends me through the roof. But I'm as high as the sky. I hear someone say, 'Where'd you find this guy, Angel? Is he FBI, local swine, or Texas Ranger?'" I says, "I'm Johnny Cash when I'm drinking on the Clash, when I'm thinking I'm Mad Max, when I'm driving on my diamond, when I'm rhyming, I'm Humphrey Bogart when I'm smoking, I'm Bob Marley when I'm toking, yeah, and in bed when I'm dreaming. I'm a guitar swinging demon." Well, I know that they know that I know that they know I'm full of shit, and they all take out their Tommy guns and attempt to riddle me with bullets, but I'm too fast. I'm like Speedy Gonzalez, and my brawling technique is flawless. I disarm these lawless scum buckets and rough them up like a bunch of suckers. I bind them in duct tape, I call for backup to haul them away. I grab Mary Jane as a witness and the marriage of Juana for a rainy day. Yeah, I confiscate the kingpin's Harley, which once belonged to Elvis Presley, and in custom paint on the gas tank it says, "Rock hard, ride free." Chilling and in bed when I'm dreaming. I'm a guitar slinging demon,
Hi, this is Barney Bentall, and you're listening to Steel Felt and Free Range Radio, 101.5 UMFM.
Sometimes this gig is indeed too good to be true. That's Barney Bentall there from his latest Gift Horse, which is a fantastic record. If you have kind of forgotten about Barney Bentall or didn't like him in the first place or something, check out this new record. It's unbelievable. It's a darn good thing. So there you go, Too Good to Be True. Before that, Ridley Bent, Suicide Winder, and he was here as part of that Grand Caribou Opry. His first that album there, Blam, it's kind of this hip-hop thing. It's kind of this country hip-hop mix, but apparently the new record is a country record, and Dustin could not even control himself when he said how good that record is, and I'm so excited to hear that coming out later this year. Rami Mays, How I Roll from Sweet Something Steady, and Dustin Bentall, Such a Shame. Those two folks tonight, High and Lonesome Club. I'm telling you, do not miss it. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's only about $7, I think. And special guests and all kinds of fun. Come on down, check it out. Or Saturday, 8 o'clock, Candor, 390 Provencher. That'll be a great show as well. Anyways, we are out of here. I'll be back next Thursday, 6:30 to 8 o'clock, Steel Belted Radio. Check out the website, steelbeltedradio.com. I'm also here Sundays, 2 to 4 p.m. Tell the band to go home. And this Sunday, we'll do the full concert preview for the big show coming up on Sunday night. That's Lucinda Williams at the Big Walker Theater, so check that out. Anyways, I think that's about it for me, and thanks for being here. Stay tuned.